This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to all you lovely people out there. I'm Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning as we continue to study the Word of God, as we continue with the studies in the book of Acts, chapters 1 to 3. And today I want to speak to you about the history of Judas summarized. The most tragic name in human history is that of Judas Iscariot. This name is a synonym for all that is traitorous, treacherous, and unholy. Of all the sad stories in God's Word, what we are told about Judas makes the saddest reading. We can think of the folly and the sin of Cain, of David, of Saul, Samson, Ananias, and Sapphira, but Judas. What a chill that name sends through our spirit. We are told about Judas in a number of places in the four Gospels, but here in Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 26, we have the man's history summarized. The following points are going to be made clear, but I first want to read to you this morning from Acts chapter 1 and from verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether the number of names was about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, by which the Holy Spirit spoke about by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open into the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his dwelling place be desolate, let no one live in it, and let another take his office.' Therefore of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, O Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place.' And they cast their lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." So here we have the history summarized. Now, it makes some points very clear to us, and the following points are clearly stated. Number one, Judas never was a converted man. You got that? Judas was never a converted man. This is not the case of a backslider or one who really knew and belonged to the Lord and who became sidetracked. The word "fell" in verse 25 means that Judas fell from his privileged position and office, not that he fell from or out of grace, because that is not possible. Because we are told in John's Gospel, chapter 10, some very, very clear words that we need to be understanding of. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, we read these words, and this is what it tells us. John 10, 28, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Judas was a professor. He was a professor of the following Jesus, but he was not a possessor. You got that? A professor of it, but not a possessor of it. And that's why we are told in 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Secondly, Jesus knew all about Judas when he chose him. In verse 16, we read here about it in verse 16 of Acts chapter 1. Men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. You got that? And then we turn to Psalm 41, and this is what Psalm 41 says to us. Psalm 41, and I want to read from verse 9 in Psalm 41. It says this, even mine own familiar friend whom I trusted, whom I ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. It's speaking about this, which should be read in conjunction with John chapter 2. Let's go to John chapter 2 and verse 25. And this is what it says. And had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew, Jesus knew what was in man. And so we need to understand that very, very clearly. There's a great mystery, therefore, but we all are left in no doubt about the fact that from the beginning, Jesus knew all about Judas. He knew all about Judas. If we turn to John's Gospel again, and we read from the first chapter, from verses 47, and Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And that's why, because Jesus said, I know you. Jesus knows all about us. We mustn't forget that. Number three, Judas was chosen as one of the 12. That's what we are told in Acts chapter 1 and verse 17. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part with this ministry. The question arises, why did Jesus choose Judas? Joseph Parker's answer to the question was, the greatest mystery is why did Jesus choose me? We cannot tell why Judas was chosen, but we can be and should be warned by all that we know about Judas. We know now about Judas. Number four, Judas sold the Lord for a small sum of money, as referred to in Acts chapter 1 and verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, falling headlong and burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. So he bought something, we are told that very clearly. He got a small amount of money because he went to betray Jesus, and they offered him 30 pieces of silver. Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, for 30 pieces of silver, the price in those days of a slave. You got that? Number five, Judas betrayed the Lord with a kiss. We're reading in verse 16, he was a guide to those who took Jesus. He was the guide. How would the soldiers know who Jesus was so they could arrest the right one? Ah, Judas would kiss Jesus. Think about that this morning. Judas betrayed him not only by selling him for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, but he betrayed him with a kiss. Number six, Judas, filled with remorse, hanged himself. One of the most solemn verses in the whole of Bible is Acts chapter 1 and verse 18. Now this man purchased the field, the wages of iniquity, falling headlong. He burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. It tells us about this man. Should this verse be read in conjunction with Matthew chapter 18? We read here. Let's go to Matthew this morning. Matthew, and I want to read from chapter 18, and this is what it tells us. Matthew chapter 18, and we read from verses 3 to 8. It says this to us. And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child and is greatest in the kingdom of God, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." So he tells us something very, very clearly. Try to feel the remorse as you read these words. The remorse of Judas. Number seven, Judas died. It's very clear about this. If we read verse 25 of Acts chapter 1, to take part in this ministry, the apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And this verse ends the sad record of Judas Iscariot. How different it was from the repentant thief on the cross. The repentant thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." How sad it was in the light of what we read here in John's Gospel, chapter 14, chapter 2. John 14, verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." Thus, we have seen in this portion of Scripture and in a short compass a summary of the life, the death, and the destiny of Judas Iscariot. What lesson should we learn from all this? Consider the following. Number one, helpful environment and spiritual privileges and benefits alone do not produce changed hearts. Let me say that again. Helpful environment, spiritual privileges, benefits alone do not produce changed hearts. Think of the privileges and the benefits Judas had in being with the Lord and his disciples for 3 years, yet his heart was unchanged. I tell you this morning, his heart never, ever changed. We must always thank God for the privileges of the church that we belong to, the local church, that we part of it, and of the Christian fellowship that we enjoy week by week and month by month and year by year. And these, I'm afraid, were lost. They were lost on Judas, because we read in the account of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And we need to really hear these words. Matthew chapter 7, and I want to read from verse 21. This is what it says to us in Matthew 7, 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And he then will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from you who practice lawlessness.'" You see, my friends, I want to make it clear to you this morning. You can profess something, but you're not it. You can profess to be something. You think you can fool the people all the time. You can put on the act, the facade. Judas couldn't do that because his heart was never won to Jesus. His heart had never been won to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, there's no salvation in outward morality. Outwardly, at any rate, Judas was the most moral, good-living man. The disciples evidently never suspected him. He was even chosen to be the treasurer, an office which is always filled with special care. But morally and the status do not save a person. Morality and our status. The Bible says in John 3 verse 3, you must be born again. Your heart needs to be changed by God from the inside out. Judas's heart was never won. Number three, often very little value is put on the Lord Jesus and his love. Judas was willing to sell the Lord for the very small sum of money, the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. How much is he worth to you this morning? Sometimes he is denied and his love and grace are spurned by a small thing such as friendship or a business deal. We have a friendship that drags us away from being with Jesus and being in fellowship with these people. A shady business deal that we do, it takes us away. What little things keep some people away from the Lord Jesus Christ? What keeps you away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Number four, unrepentance will lead you to perdition. Was it in Judas' case the love of money? Did he just love money? He was certainly not a notorious sinner in the sense that he had committed a long list of crimes. Let's be clear about that this morning. His was the sin of covetousness and hypocrisy. I want to go back to Matthew's gospel again this morning. And I want to read there in Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, and I want to read there from verse 19. Matthew's gospel, chapter 6. And I'm going to read there in chapter 6 from verse 9. And this is 19, pardon me. This is what it says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. His heart was never won to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me make that very clear to you this morning. His heart had never been won. Number five, opportunities and warnings persistently spurned spell final disaster. No man had more or better opportunities for knowing and loving the Lord, yet Judas was lost. We need to face up to that. Judas was lost. When I read again from the word here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I want to read from, and this is what it tells me, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. This is what, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Is Jesus living inside of you this morning? Can you say with absolute assurance, I know that Jesus is the Lord of my life and Jesus lives within by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? Because we spurn opportunities and warnings. At death we shall go to a prepared place for which we are prepared. God has prepared two places. The Bible tells me very clearly. John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. That's what he tells us. Two, he says he's got a place prepared for us. And we need to understand that. There's a prepared place. You will go to a prepared place. Either you will go to heaven or you will go to hell. Now, some people might not like me saying that very clearly this morning, but the Bible is very clear about this. We need to be very clear at what the Bible says to us. You are prepared, but are you prepared to go to the place God's preparing for you? Or are you prepared to end up in the other place which he has? That's the place where people go, where there is utter darkness. That's hell itself. And this is what Matthew 25, 41 tells us. Then he shall say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There's only two places. They're both prepared. Are you going to that prepared in heaven, or are you going to that which is prepared in hell? And I know some people won't like that, but there's only two destinations for people at the end of their life. Number seven, I would like to say to you, all of us are known for something. Do you know that? All of us are known for something. Acts chapter 1 verse 19 tells me, and it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. It gives us the word picture of the tombstone over Judas's grave. What a memorial. Dr. J. Stuart Holdens once said, what a warning flare is the story of this man Judas, a flare whose warning none of us dare disregard. If we do so, it is at our own peril. For unhappily, there is nothing very exceptional in a divided heart on the part of those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas only did what many others do and seem to get away with. But thank God, no one need ever tread this dreadful path to hell. Indeed, no truly saved person will ever go to hell. If you are not sure of your own salvation this morning, you can make sure of it right now. John 3:16 tells me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Do you believe in him? If you believe on him, you shall be saved. That believeth in him shall be saved. We got that clearly from the word of God. If we go to John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. You're never going to, if you believe in Christ, you don't come into judgment. There's no condemnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus took our judgment as a believer to Calvary's cross, and he's paid the price in full. He has done it all for us. And because of what Jesus has done for me, I never have to face the judgment at all. Don't believe people who tell you you have to face judgment. Jesus took judgment at Calvary's cross for you and for me. But I want to read again from Romans, and this is what Romans tells me. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says these words, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Wonderful. And there's no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you hear that this morning? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. Yes, it's been a difficult study today. The history of Judas summarized. Judas made a decision that took him down the wrong path, that led him not to go with Jesus. He betrayed him. He sold him. You and I here this morning, we have to make a decision about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, we need to make that decision. All of us are known for something. Are you going to be known that you've accepted Jesus, that you put your faith, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved? I say to you this morning, there's only two choices. It's heaven or hell. No other way. The Bible doesn't tell us there's another way. There's not a halfway stop. Heaven or hell. And I say to you this morning, I'm asking you, won't your life be a testimony to others? Won't your life, at the end of your life, all of us are known for something. Will our lives be known that we loved and we served the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we need to know today. As you face today, if you've never ever said yes to Jesus, I ask you this morning, say yes to him now. Put your hand on your heart and pray the prayer with me. Say, living Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on Calvary's cross, paying the price for all my sin, past, present, future. I ask you now to come into my heart, into my life. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. Come in today, come in to stay. And Holy Spirit, help me that I may serve Jesus for the rest of my life, in serving him in whatever way God wants me to be of service to him. He'll let me know by his Spirit. He will lead me. He will guide me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision, please let us know about it. 021-180-5744, Radio Cape Pulpit. 021-180-5744, Radio Cape Pulpit. It's so good to have been with you this morning. I pray your heart's been encouraged. Remember, there are only two destinations for people. It's heaven or hell. And you must make the right decision this morning. God bless you. God love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.